We closed with a bit of a cliffhanger last time. Genesis 24, verse 59 is where we're going to pick up today. You know how the servant of Abraham prayed for a miracle, got his miracle, and then that night, before dinner, in the house of Rebekah's family, the servant of Abraham retold the miracle story all over again and got exactly what he was hoping for, and that is agreement that Rebekah will marry Isaac. And so the next morning, he gets up and he asks if he can just take Rebekah and turn around and head back home. Now, they'd like for him to stick around and give her, you know, maybe a 10-day party for her upcoming wedding and the fact that she's going to be moving away and never come back again. Maybe they'd even want to celebrate the idea that she would soon be having babies. But this servant is quite insistent. No, I need to go. God has helped me find this girl so fast. I need to turn around and get back home. And I've shared with you, I believe this is because he's very worried about Abraham. Remember, Abraham didn't come on this trip himself. He sent this man. And he even included in the instruction things that would happen possibly after Abraham's death. So this man, this servant, maybe Eliezer, maybe not, he wants to get back home perhaps before Abraham passes. And maybe, and this will be interesting for what really happens, maybe he even hopes that by getting Isaac married ASAP, as soon as possible, will brighten Abraham's life prospects. And maybe he will be re-energized and recover from the depression that kind of set in after the death of Sarah just a few years earlier. All right, so Genesis 24, verse 59, we know that the family has agreed that they're going to leave the day after the deal was struck. Verse 59, so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse. Now, her nurse is interesting because some people think that this is the woman who took care of Rebekah when she was a little baby on behalf of the family, and I could see that. I'm going to suggest to you that she's actually more likely to be close to Rebekah's age. And I think Rebekah is right around her early, maybe mid to later 20s. And that this young woman didn't take care of Rebekah when she was a baby, but rather she's coming on board to take care of Rebekah's babies. Because one of the things that marriage is quickly followed by is the birthing of children. And so I think that's why we find this woman still alive many years after Rebekah's death. She actually comes up in the story of Jacob and his family, and apparently she's living with them at the time in Mesopotamia, which that's going to be an amazing thing that she ends up going back there. But that's for later. So they send away Rebekah, their sister, along with her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah. So they can't have the 10 days of celebration with her, but they can have a little blessing ceremony before she leaves. And they said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s. So there's a blessing for may you have lots of babies, and may those babies grow up and have lots of babies, etc., etc. And may your offspring, your seed, possess the gate of those who hate them. And that is a blessing that gets repeated in different forms elsewhere in the Old Testament. It's the idea of may they always have the upper hand. The gate of a city was that city's protection. So if you had control of it, you controlled the city. It was also the place where business transactions happened and where more than likely the farmer's market, the daily market took place. And so if you had control of the gate, the city was yours. So that's what they're wishing for her. Verse 61, then Rebekah and her young women. So it's not just simply one nurse that's going with her. She's got other young ladies going with her. Now, it is possible that these are servants that had been working for her family. And so she's basically taking a ready-made serving staff with her as she becomes the senior woman in this new tent city, because she will be. Or is it possible that she invited some of her young friends, some of the unattached women that she grew up with, to join her in this new adventure of her life? But whoever they are part of her entourage as she goes south into Canaan. So Rebekah and her young women arose, they rode on the camels and followed the man. So there's 10 camels we know of. They were loaded up with all sorts of goodies to be offered as the dowry. Now they're empty of that, and they're full of ladies, Rebekah and her entourage. And thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, we already talked about the idea that it's a couple of weeks' journey to go from Haran down to southern Canaan. And we're heading probably to Hebron, which is where Abraham buried Sarah and where this story kind of got its start. But we'll have the mention of another place right at the beginning of this shift in focus. Verse 62. Now, Yitzhak had returned from Beer Lahai Roy and was dwelling in the Negev. Now, Negev is a reference to the northern Sinai Desert, the southern part of Judah, as we will later know this region. It includes Hebron on the north edge of the Negev, but it also includes Beersheba. And we know Abraham has had a tent city at Hebron. He's also had a tent city at Beersheba. And then apparently, he's also had a tent city set up at Beer Lahairoi. Beer Lahairoi is the well of the living one who sees me. And that was named by Hagar, the mother of Ishmael. And she gave it that name because God had appeared to her there. And she had apparently shared that story with Abraham. And now Yitzhak apparently has spent some time recently down at Beer Lahai Roy. And the story says that he was coming back from there to where? Well, my suggestion is he's either coming back to Beersheba or he's coming back to Hebron. one of the other two places that we know that Abraham had a tent city. Verse 63, Yitzhak went out to meditate in the field toward evening. Now, meditation needs to be understood in its Middle Eastern context here. We've been invaded in our Western society with Far Eastern meditation, which is effectively attempting to empty your mind and be devoid of any thinking whatsoever. That is not Middle Eastern meditation. The word in Hebrew has a sense of kind of bowing down low in prayer and chewing on information. And so this seems to be Isaac having a quiet time. And what would be part of that quiet time? I think the fact that his father, who is having a really rough patch in his physical life at this time, had sent an entourage to go north to find him a wife. And so I would guess that Yitzhak is weighed down by a lot of things that have happened recently in his life, such as he lost his mom about 4 years ago. That had to have been a blow. His aged father is now not doing very well himself. He wouldn't even go on a trip to try to find an appropriate daughter-in-law. And then there is this trip where a senior servant of the household has gone to find him a wife. Now again, this is very strange to us. In our Western society, very individualized society, we like to make our own choices. We like to fall in love and make proposals and long-term plans. But in this time period, and actually in a lot of the time periods of history, it was a family thing. And so it was really important to have your family take care of this for you, to make sure that you got the right woman to become the mother of your children and to enter into your family and to become part of your family. So it was a really big deal. So I think he may be praying about that too, is who is this new wife that I'm about to meet in a matter of weeks? Now, at that time, he probably thought it would have been weeks, but it's only going to be a few more minutes and he will meet her. Verse 63. Yitzhak went out to meditate in the field toward evening. So he's done with today's work. He goes out, maybe around sunset, think about things, have a little prayer time. And then he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, there were camels coming. So he sees the camel train. How could you miss it? There's 10 camels plus all the other animals that might be in this group as well. And at the same time, he spots the camel train and probably gets up and starts walking that way. Rebekah lifts up her eyes. And when she saw Yitzhak, she dismounted from the camel. So she causes her camel to kneel down. She parks her camel. She gets off the camel because, you know, she would rather be properly prepared to meet her future husband face-to-face instead of up on a camel. And so she said to the servant who she spent 2 weeks with, so I'm sure they had a lot of conversations about the history of Abraham and Sarah during the past 65 years or so. Yeah, 65 years, because that's about how long it's been since Abraham and Sarah left Haran. I'm sure she's had lots of stories, but now she needs his expertise about this guy that's coming toward them. Who's that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, "It's my master. That's the one I've been telling you about. That's the heir of everything. That's your future husband." And so she took her veil and covered herself. Now, this is apparently part of the custom, would be to be for women, unmarried women, to be veiled in the presence of men they were not yet related to. Now, it's true, she is his cousin, but not a close cousin. So she hasn't known him. So propriety says she must cover her face until she gets married to him. So the servant told Yitzhak all the things that he had done. So he makes a full report, and you know it included the whole miracle. And then Yitzhak brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. Now, there's some time that passes before the next phrase, "and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her." Understand that they don't get married like right then, and they don't even get married within a matter of days. I am guessing there's a cooling off time to kind of let her get acclimated to this whole new situation here. Because you know what he's just now doing? When Isaac took Rebecca over to Sarah's tent, Sarah's tent is basically like Sarah's office, because Sarah is the matron of the camp. She's in charge of a ton of things that go on for this huge tent city. And Isaac is basically saying, "Well, let me show you your office. Let me show you where you're going to start running everything." Because that is exactly what's going to happen to her. Now, if I'm correct, and she's like in her early 20s, this is a really big deal. Now, she was probably being trained by her own mother as to how to run a household, maybe even the business aspects of that household. But that family up there, as blessed as they might be, are not nearly as blessed as this family down here. So this is a much bigger thing for her. But then over time, and a lot of times betrothals have a year between when it starts and when it's finished. When the betrothal period is finished, she became his wife, and he loved her. He was so committed to her. It was exactly what needed to happen. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He had a new woman in his life that meant everything to him. Up to this point, that had been his mom, up to just 4 years earlier. But now, Rebecca becomes his world. And everything kind of calms down. Now, with that in mind, chapter 25 lets us know that Abraham seems to recover from his own deep blue funk and his own thinking that life was over, and he remarries. And I think that probably seeing his son happy in a brand new life would have contributed to this. It took a load off his mind to see that they were married and moving on. And so he gets remarried himself. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. Now we know nothing about her other than her name. Is she local? Or is she part of the encampment? We don't know. My suspicion is that she may actually be part of the encampment, that she may be some young woman that Abraham has already developed a relationship with over time, and that once he realizes, I am not dying right away, that spark of life comes back up into him, and he even wants to have a marriage relationship. Now, that's no disrespect to Sarah. One of the things that people have taken note of is that both men and women who are happy in their marriages, if their long-term spouse dies, they very often get remarried because they're missing something that they've had for years. And a new spouse seems to fill that gap somewhat. It does, again, there's no disrespect to the past spouse. It is just that idea of life itself wants to go on when you've had a happy life. And so they get married and they start having kids. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And we don't just simply get the first generation of this family line. We get a couple more. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. And that can be a little bit confusing because there are already Sheba and Dedans in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10. The sons of Dedan were Asherim, and that I-M ending tells us that Asherim is actually a reference to the people group that come from this man. So his name was probably Ashur. Latushim and Lumimim, and then the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abidah, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. And so while he is raising another family with Keturah, it should be understood that Yitzhak and Rebekah are not having kids. For the first 20 years of their married life, they have no children. And I would suggest to you that that is some high pressure that is being felt in the encampment again. You remember that Sarah and Abraham didn't have any kids for the first 25 plus years of their marriage. And it was hard on him, a lot of stress. And so here it is happening again. And dad is remarried and raising a whole bunch of kids, but Yitzhak and Rebekah aren't. Now, eventually, as these new children of Abraham reach the full adult age, he does something that we're going to read about here, and I'll reference it again later. But I just want to make sure that we've got it in our head that Abraham is particularly paying attention to Yitzhak being the child of the promise. So he may not have any kids yet, but God will take care of that. Abraham trusts God in that. So verse 5, Abraham gave all he had to Yitzhak. So Yitzhak is his only son in the encampment. And so he is going to receive the entirety of the encampment as his inheritance. He will become the new patriarch of this family once his father dies. But as for his half-brothers, some of whom we just had mentioned, but don't forget about Ishmael, who's living a couple of days travel away right now, and I'm guessing by now that there's relationship restored and back and forth between these families. After all, Yitzhak had been down at Beer Lahairoi, and that would be down toward where Hagar and Ishmael had kind of set up their life. So verse number 6 says, but to the sons of his concubines. The word has the sense of secondary wife. So Sarah was the full wife. Ishmael's mother, Hagar, and Keturah are secondary to the heir. Secondary to the heir line. So that's what it's saying here. To the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Yitzhak eastward to the east country. So Abraham tries to make it very clear to all of his boys, Yitzhak is the heir, and he will inherit Canaan. The rest of you, let's set you up with your own places outside of Canaan.